Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to a special edition of Talk of the Town. Milt Hess in to try to navigate our way through this as we welcome in special guests, as we take a walk down memory lane for Barry's baseball. And based on who's in here, I'm not sure, you know, based on our memories, this might be a short walk. but we have the coaching staff, the trio that sort of put Barry's baseball really smack dab in the center of attention of the state of Indiana, Coach Jim Turner, Coach Butch Jones, and Coach Rich Wild, to sort of reminisce about Barry's baseball as we get set for Barry's baseball season to start up once again. And again, I don't have any notes in front of me. I don't have any questions written out. I think we're just going to sort of play this by ear and see how it goes, and sort of a roundtable discussion, and bring up a few things and start some discussion and see where it goes from there. But as long as I've been around Barry's baseball and associated with broadcasting and watching and whatever, I don't really ever remember the story of how this group came together as a group, you know, how it got started, how you guys got together and stayed together for so long. So I want to start with Coach Turner. What was your first year of coaching Barry's baseball as a varsity sport, Coach?
Well, I had been coaching freshman basketball, but then the opportunity to coach baseball came along, and Rex Hunter needed a JV coach, so I was all set to do that. So I had the JV program for 2 years, and then Rex retired from baseball and became the athletic director. Mm-hmm. Opportunity to become the head coach in 1964, okay. And Dick Rothgeb, who had been his assistant, was my assistant the first year, and Butch got the job as a JV coach. And so I took over the head coach. Butch took over as my assistant then.
Yeah, I was JV coach in 64, which was my first year of teaching. Right. And then I became assistant coach.
Okay, that's the way it worked.
In 65.
Yeah, and then Larry Weston became the JV coach, and I think he was the JV coach for 2 years. Then he got smart and went into banking.
And out of coaching, he saw the writing on the wall early on.
Right.
And after just a couple of years, got out of it.
And Rich, then, who had been coaching a lot of Babe Ruth baseball, had the opportunity to become the JV coach. So that's when Rich came in. That would have been what year, Rich?
68.
68.
And thank you, Jim Turner.
Okay.
Because, all right, so you took over 64. Butch then became, you were involved in the program at that point, but then became the varsity assistant in 65.
Right.
Right.
And then, Rich, you were, and I think you were telling me you were teaching over at Fairview at the time, and then became JV coach at 68. So, Butch and Jim, you were familiar with each other. Were you teaching in the same building? I mean, were you familiar with each other? Did you approach Butch about coaching at that point?
I don't remember how that happened exactly. Do you, Butch?
Well, I know, you know, we were teaching in the same building, obviously, and I think to begin with, you know, you mentioned freshman coach, and I can kind of remember you disagreeing with some of my basketball calls.
That's right. You were officiating basketball.
Yeah.
I thought maybe I ought to get him into baseball to straighten him out.
So he's been missing basketball calls for a long time then.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
Even longer than he would coach baseball. Okay, so you two basically got together in 65 officially as coach and varsity assistant.
Well, yeah, actually it started in 64. Sure.
Okay, and then Rich came along in 1968. How were you familiar with Rich Wild? Just because of other things he was coaching? Coach, I mean, how he was at Fairview, so he wasn't in the same building.
Yeah, but he was coaching Babe Ruth baseball, and I think got acquainted with him through that. I think I watched him coach over there, and I saw all the mistakes he made, and I said, well, I'll bring him
up. You could help him out.
Butch and I'll bring him along.
Try to straighten him out.
And you spent how long trying to get that done?
I'm still working on it.
From the official standpoint, you finally gave up after how many years?
But. Years and years of clinics and after game evaluations, and I don't know, some of it took and most of it didn't.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about, because we're eventually going to get to talking about state championships and maybe your memories of those state championship years or those particular teams or something. But how about your role? Now, Rich, start with you. Your role as the JV coach, and then we'll get to Butch, too, as a varsity assistant. What actually was your role? I mean, was it strictly to mold that JV team? I know you told me you worked on the schedule because they weren't playing many JV games.
No, we weren't. Well, I think my first year we had either seven, eight, or nine games. And I think Jim, we're sitting outside before we came in here, and I think Jim said the first year he had JV, he had five games, for crying out loud. But I always saw my role as to teach the game and the fundamentals and get kids ready to play for Jim and Butch at the varsity level.
And did they pretty much, you know, at that stage of the game, did they pretty much leave you to yourself? Did they chip in with what they wanted you to work on?
Occasionally, yes, and I appreciated that. I really, all those years, appreciated Jim as the head coach, giving me a lot of leeway, not only in picking players. Seldom, once in a while, Jim would comment about some player during tryouts, and he would see something that I didn't, or Larry Costello was a real good example of a weak freshman, and we weren't sure that Larry was ever going to be a baseball player. Well, Larry Costello turned out to be an outstanding...
pretty strong arm and tossed at least one no-hitter that I...
But I appreciated the fact that, I say left me alone, that's not really the right terminology, but I guess I figured as long as I was doing the job Jim wanted me to do, there wasn't any reason for him to say too much to me. I do remember a couple times early on, Jim pulling me aside, maybe after a workout in the gym or after a game, and instead of telling me what I should have done, he had a tendency, a very wise man, to ask, now, if you had this to do over again, that was Jim.
That was his approach.
Yes, it was.
Just saying, you messed that up. I want you to do it this way, but that was a soft take on how to get that done differently next time around. And then again, you worked on building up that schedule then, obviously.
Yes, I would say I worked hard trying to get the administration to allow us to play more games, 6-7 games for freshmen and sophomores is simply not enough experience, not enough ball games to get them ready to play varsity ball.
And you would work on fundamentals of the game, basically.
Yes.
Teaching fundamentals, you'd get them out of Babe Ruth or whatever level they'd come to you from, and either teach them or fine-tune at that stage of the game.
Bless their hearts, those youth league coaches. They were volunteers and they did an outstanding job. But it was surprising to me, having coached Alpha Industries' Babe Ruth program, that so many kids came to us as freshmen and knew so little about the game. They didn't know what a double cut was. They didn't know the infield fly rule, for example. And so there was a lot of teaching the rules and the fundamentals of the game. And I saw that as my job. I don't think Jim and I didn't care that much about one loss record. I figure if you teach the fundamentals and play the game right, the wins and losses take care of themselves.
And, you know, comments that I would hear from former players over the year. You know, they might not necessarily like the way you coached them. You know, and like in any coaching or parenting situation or whatever, teaching situation, a lot of times whoever you're trying to teach or coach, they don't like it at the time. But after they get old and they get mature and they realize, they can look back, they realize how much they did learn. And,
well,
and what I would constantly hear is what they learned at the JV level, you know, about playing the game of baseball, the fundamentals and the rules of the game and that sort of thing. And I'd hear that about what you were teaching at the JV level. So
I'd like to try to remind those freshmen and sophomore kids that that old man sitting back behind home plate that you think is somebody's grandpa, he might be a college coach or a scout or even we've had major league scouts, of course, at our ball games. And so I tried to preach, and I'm sure I did, that from the time you walk on the field, you don't wait until you get out on the field and we start hitting your ground balls and fly balls. You start acting and behaving like a baseball player, a Barry's baseball player, from the time you walk through the gate.
Well, and I think it paid off.
Well, I hope so.
Butch, let's turn to you. Obviously, your connection to Coach Turner goes back just a handful of years sooner than Rich's did. But you were JV coach and then varsity assistant. So let's talk about your role as Coach Turner's assistant. We know you coach first base. We'd see you down at first base. What were you as far as the role during practice or the games? What was your basic role as varsity assistant? And were you also a sounding board for Coach Turner?
Yeah, I really think that we bonded well from the beginning. You know, like I said, you know, just the first year as a JV coach, then thereafter 27 years as an assistant coach. So 28 years actually as an assistant, you know, when you look at it that way. But I think Jim and I worked very well together. We almost formed a bond like brothers, and we would, you know, deal with the situations in the, you know, the various ball games depending on who we were playing, and we discussed, you know, the pitching rotations and the lineup and so forth. So we worked very well together.
I assume at some point along the way you pretty much got to know how each other were thinking, and you'd know what he would be doing in certain situations. He wouldn't have to tell you, but you pretty much got to know each other really well from that standpoint, from the game standpoint, on how each other would handle certain situations in a game.
Yeah, that's true, Milt. And it continued that way, you know, for, like I say, for 28 years.
You also drove the bus once in a while.
This was the bus.
This was back when coaches would drive the bus. Now, did JV and varsity go separate ways as far as
sometimes
transportation was concerned?
At one time, we drove cars. Oh. So we had three different vehicles going maybe to Newcastle or
or until we tried to go to Huntington, and we had to end up driving two because Butch didn't have a spare.
Well, there's a lot of different stories on
well,
on
yeah, and we could, and we, who knows, we may, at the end of this, we may still have time for those stories.
No, but that's not necessary.
They're not radio material.
No.
But what I do remember back when I was covering Barry's baseball was that if Butch was driving the bus, you didn't have to allow as much time for the team to get there as if Coach Turner was driving the bus, either to or from the game, because I thought it was said that Butch would get there a little quicker. And then maybe what Coach Turner would, or get back from the game maybe just a little bit quicker than what Coach Turner would. Anything to that, Butch?
No, hearsay.
Yeah. It seemed to be pretty popular hearsay at the time, and seemed to be pretty consistent. But as far as your role within the game then, Butch, I mean, again, we'd see you coaching first base. Would Coach Turner ask you for advice at some point along the way, or did he not want to mess with that?
Well, you know, hey, my goal at first was to try to get him over to see Coach Turner at third.
Milt, if I can inject something here about Butch and Jim, the relationship. I never saw two coaches get along better and understand each other better than these two men. And I don't know how many times I was either on the field or I might have been watching off the field that a situation in a game would come up and I would watch Butch look across at Jim and you could just see the wheels turning. And they didn't have to come and meet very often, which they sometimes did. You could just see the two minds working together.
Mm-hmm. And that would come with certainly working together as long as you did. Coach, as far as the way you use these guys, again, Rich talked about pretty much left him alone, but in a JV situation, it appeared back then in the prime days that you were getting guys who were ready to play the game. By the time they got to you, it seemed like they were ready to play the game. They knew what they needed to do. You just needed to maybe fine-tune it or just throw the ball out and let them do it.
Yeah, well, that was Rich's job to get them ready to play. And every once in a while, we would have a player on the JV team that we would talk about, and we'd say, is he ready yet? And Rich would say, well, yes, he's ready to move up, or no, he's not quite ready. He needs a few more games. But I relied a lot on Rich's judgment as to who and when we should move to the varsity. And, of course, Rich's job was to teach the fundamentals. He would start out because the Babe Ruth coaches would teach different things. Kids would know different things from each other. And so Rich was to bring all those kids together, get them all on the same page as far as fundamentals were concerned. In fact, I don't know whether I ever said this directly to Rich or not, but my philosophy was, Rich, Butch and I don't want to have to teach the rundown. We'll review it, but we don't want to have to teach it. So that was his job, and I didn't interfere with that because I knew he was doing a superior job of teaching the fundamentals. He started out saying, guys, this is a baseball. And that's where he started, and he did a wonderful job of teaching fundamentals. At the varsity level, I relied a lot on Butch's judgment. For example, we would have a pitcher who was quite deep into the pitch count, you know, and maybe in a little bit of trouble. And I would think, oh, should I take him out? Should I not? I'd look at Butch, and I would say, Butch, what do you think? And Butch would say, well, let him go another inning, or, yeah, let's get him. So I relied on his judgment on, because these two guys are baseball people, and I relied a lot on their judgment. And as far as Butch is teaching the fundamentals, I pretty much turned the infield and outfield over to him. He hit the ground balls and the fly balls, and players still complain to this day about how his ground balls stung their hands. You know, he hit them so hard.
And they complain about how many times they heard, hit the cutoff, man.
Yeah, hit the cutoff, man. So I relied on Butch, really, to work on the defensive part of the game. And, of course, both of us then spent some time with the hitting. And then I took a lot of time with the pitchers because I felt that was a very important role. And I just assumed kind of the responsibility for the pitching aspects of the game. So we all had our responsibilities, and we relied a lot on each other. So that's the way we kind of got together.
Do you remember disagreeing with Butch's judgment, or do you ever any specific
only when we lost?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and by using his judgment, you got to cover your tail too.
It was always his fault.
Yeah, if it didn't work out, you got your tail covered. Yeah. That's pretty good planning on your part there. But
we've had a great relationship over the years, both baseball and otherwise.
And again, it translated to what it translated into with all you guys working together for what it ended up being then,
28 years.
28 years. Yeah.
Of 34 for me.
Yeah. And you just, I don't know if you see that much anymore. But
and we tell everybody, you know, all the success we had, it was all coaching. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any good players, you know, it was all coaching. Yeah. And if you believe that.
I certainly have up until this point. So.
All over the years, we had some wonderful players, wonderful kids and wonderful players.
So the three of you ended up basically together in 68, you know, as a group.
Yeah.
First state championship comes along in 75. So in your memory, where did Barry's baseball really start to take off? Again, I was in school, 74 to 76 were my high school days. And I don't remember a lot about focusing on the baseball program at that point. 75, it seemed to me, you know, we were on vacation. Yeah. Coming, and we came back from Minnesota where we are, and I see that the baseball team wins the state championship.
Yeah.
That came out of nowhere to me. You know, I wasn't following it that closely. But where did it start to really gel for Barry's baseball?
Well, you know, the state tournament didn't start until 67.
Okay.
We had a couple of pretty good teams. You know, my first year, 64, I think we only won four games, but we didn't have many seniors. We only had, I think, two seniors who played very much. The following year, in 65, we won the conference because those kids in 64 became seniors and they were good players. We had some very good players in 65. In 66, we won the conference again because we still had some pretty good leftover talent. So actually, our Barry's baseball really started. Of course, I think Rex Hunter's team won the conference in 61, mm-hmm. but then we won it in 65 and 66, and those were two of our better teams over the years. So if we had had the state tournament at that time, both of those teams would have done well, I think. And then the talent kind of slacked off a little bit in the late 60s, and it picked up again in the early 70s. We began to have some pretty good players. In the early 70s, and then by 75, we were okay.
So as we go into talking about that state championship year then, did you guys see that coming? I mean, maybe the year before, did you notice this could be, and I don't know what the record would have been the year before in 74, but did you see it coming as a staff? Could you see that this team had the potential to really do well, maybe not set to go on a state championship, but to really have a good season?
We were pretty good in 74. In fact, in 73, we had a very good team. We didn't make it. We got beaten regional, I think it was, by Twin Lakes, whom we had beaten earlier in the year. But we just had a bad ball game. It was one of those games we got beat. But at 73 was one of our better teams. I mean, I had us penciled in. You know, we were very good. 74, we got beat, I think, in the semi-state by Terre Haute
North.
Mm-hmm. They eventually won the state. They were a very good team, but they beat us, but we were very good. So I could see it coming the next year. You know, we were still pretty good, 75.
And I think 75, the state championship, was that down in Lafayette?
Yeah.
Still at that
right.
that point in Loeb Stadium?
Right.
Anything that really stands out to you about that 1975, any of the coaches, anything that really that you remember that stands out to you about that 1975 state championship?
I think for the most part, we had some years there, you know, in winning those state championships that we had so many players that were so versatile. I mean, we could probably have, if we wanted to, we could probably throw maybe six pitchers out there,
yeah.
you know, but they played, you know, other positions and they were very, very good ball players.
So that would have been for any of those teams, basically
yes.
a formula for any of those teams
exactly.
that won the state championship.
Right.
Was 75 the year it was so darn hot?
Yeah.
That's what I,
very
one thing
hot.
I remember, just blistering hot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why Jeff pitched the afternoon game, and boy, he was really spent. And I had to put Packard in to finish that game, and then we started Packard in the night game, and Packard was spent in the night game, and I had to take him out, and I had to put my son in to pitch.
From the, oh, gee.
Yeah.
But the heat and humidity.
Wow, melt.
Really.
That's your buddy there.
Yeah. No, that worked out pretty well for everybody, but the heat and humidity. Obviously, took its toll on that
really
day
hot.
Because you would have played afternoon game and night game
right.
for the state championship at
right.
that point. So again, this was when it was all one big class. There was
right.
just one state championship. So,
yeah.
Anything else about 75 that sticks out to you? Anybody?
We had just a great group of ball players, and they were very focused, you know, on playing the game the way it should be played.
We'll be right back with the conclusion of our interview with Coach Turner, Coach Jones, and Coach Wild. You're listening to a special sports edition of Talk of the Town on your home of the Berries, 1230 WSAL.